Occult crimes, paranormal investigations, urban legends, and strange happenings. Welcome to Myths, Magic, and Murder.
Hey, welcome to Myths, Magic, and Murder.
This is episode 111. I'm Abby.
I'm Kate, and we'll be your ghostesses. I don't know what month it is. I don't know what year it is, but we're here.
We're here. It's the day. It is not May. Or is it?
I don't know.
No, it's not.
Oh.
It was a trick.
Listen, I told you I don't know what month it is. You have to believe me.
Okay. How are you doing today, Kate?
I'm good.
What are you covering?
I will be telling you about Baba Yaga, the fearsome figure of Slavic folklore. How about you? What are you telling me?
I'm going to be telling you about the Kikimora.
Ooh.
Kiki. You'll find out a bit more about that later.
Let's have a Kiki. That's what the song's about.
Yeah. How are you? What were you going to say?
I was going to say I'm at my mum's house.
I'm also at Kate's mum's house.
Big day.
Mm-hmm. Big day for mum's house.
Dog sitting, a big one, a little one, a cat. We're not dog sitting a cat. Stop it.
We dog sit the cat, it becomes a dog.
Yeah. It's a were-dog.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dumb. Do you have anything else to say before we get started?
I do. So, before, a long, long time ago, I wrote this podcast. And I had just covered The Time Traveler.
Twinkle, 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 twinkle.
Thank you. So, at the beginning of this, I have a little tidbit about the time travel episode that we did many, many moons ago. So, just pretend that it fits in.
Okay.
Okay. I want to say a thank you to Matt for writing in and telling us this time travel story. He said, I used to work in hospitality. A guest came in at 1 a.m. to check in and asked for the date. No, I mean, what year is it? He clarified when, you know, they'd said what the date was. He went back up to his room with a nod. He'd only booked for a one-night stay. The next day, at 4 p.m., he still hadn't checked out and hadn't answered the door when housekeepers knocked. The manager and I went up to the room and found it almost untouched. But his suitcase was open on the floor with one folded outfit, paper, and a Bible. No identifying information remained. We checked the security cameras and there was no footage of him ever leaving the room or the hotel. This is the only incident that makes me wonder if time travel is real.
That's really freaky.
So weird.
Oh.
I can't believe they left it until 4 p.m. to check the room. Because, like, I know that time travel is the big thing about this story. But I'm petrified that I'm going to be chased out of the room.
Dude, me too.
I'm like, they're coming.
I'm in a hotel and it strikes 11. If I'm, like, still in the doorway, I'm like, fuck. They're going to blow up the room with me in it.
Oh, my God. They're going to get me.
I'm like, somehow they're going to figure out. If you can hear a dog, it's because there is one, and I'm sorry. I think that they're going to arrest me on the spot for going downstairs.
Yeah, they're
going
to be
breakfast.
Like, you didn't pay for late checkout.
Mm-hmm.
Bam. I'm down. I'm out. Anyway, yeah, 4 p.m.
Wow.
Yeah. And now that I think about it, it makes sense. Because I've never met a receptionist that seems arsed.
No, but I suppose the cleaners... You know what? I don't think this is the point of the story.
No.
Time travel.
Real?
That is pretty convincing.
Mm-hmm.
Either a time traveler or like some kind of ghost.
Oh, could be right? A ghost. Yeah. I like that.
I think that... I'm so sorry. I'm very tired. The dog has been keeping us up all night.
Yeah.
Woofing.
Straight woofing, dude.
Just woofing. What's up, dog, is what I say to him.
And he says, what's up, dog?
Yeah, and I say, not much, dog, how about you? Did I say that right? What's the joke, usually?
Say, like, I haven't got much up, dog. Or, like, I've forgotten my up dog.
And then the other person asks, what's up, dog?
Yeah, and you say, nothing much, dog.
Anyway, that's a very convincing story. Thank you for sending it in.
Yeah.
Very freaky.
I love to hear what you guys know, what you don't know.
Tell us information.
Tell me
us things you don't even know.
Your social security number. I'm joking, please don't.
Tell us everything that you bought today and yesterday and ever.
You're sounding a bit stalkery now.
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, no, no, no.
I'm just wanting to know what people get for groceries.
Tell us what up dog is.
Yeah. Tell us what's up dog.
No. You've done it again.
I don't understand the joke. Look, let's get into this. The news from CBS News, Amelia Earhart's plane might have just been discovered. Blimey. When I wrote this episode, whenever that was.
Yeah, 10 million years ago.
I'll probably do a full story on this sometime. I don't think we've covered Amelia Earhart, and it is a very interesting topic. What are you laughing at?
Like, we're so late that by now they've found Amelia Earhart and she's written a biography. Like, she's still alive.
She's our special guest today. Her life was very interesting, and so was the disappearance of her and her aircraft. But for now, for the news, a mapping team named Deep Sea Vision have captured a sonar image of what looks like an aircraft around 16,000 feet beneath the surface. This image was taken 82 years after Amelia disappeared over the Pacific Ocean, and nobody has seen any solid sign of her or the plane since.
Have they seen any liquid sign of her?
Gas. However, this mapping team have discovered a potentially groundbreaking thing.
Gas.
That wasn't even funny.
It was just the way that you ignored that I'd made a joke, and then you went, gas.
They think that they may have found the plane approximately 100 miles from Howland Island, where Amelia stopped to refuel her plane just before disappearing. So far, we just have the solar image, because looking closely at things deep in the sea is very difficult and very expensive.
Ah, unless you have goggles.
Unless you're a fish, is what I'd written. Unless you have goggles. How far are you swimming?
Well,
16,000 feet down?
Never know. Big dive, isn't it?
Can't you die?
No. I just simply wouldn't. I just decide not to.
You choose to live.
Yeah.
I see.
Choose life.
And then I wrote, unless fish pay taxes. I don't know what that means.
What the hell?
I think when I wrote this, right, sometimes I write in like a little joke that I think is going to be funny when I'm speaking the episode. And because I write it the week before, I know what it means when I come to speak it. However, I wrote this a while ago.
Yeah, written many
moons ago. So I think maybe
ago.
I was making a joke about how it was expensive and complicated to go underwater.
Right.
Fish swim, and if they pay taxes, it wouldn't cost. I don't know. You know what? Even if it made sense, it would still be a bad joke.
Yeah. I like that you tried, though. You really put your ass into
into the sea.
You put your whole ass into
Kate's having some problems today. Anyway, let's hope they can give it a clear physical look soon so we can put together the answers.
So that the fish can finally stop paying taxes.
So that we can find Amelia Earhart, find her aircraft, set the fish free from the taxation.
Catch our new merch coming out soon. Stop fish paying taxes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what? I have two new ideas for the shop, actually. I'm getting rid of a bunch of old stuff.
Oh.
And I'm adding in a couple of new things. More simplistic. Actually, you know what? One of them is not simplistic. I haven't made it yet, but in my head it looks really sick.
Oh, well, great. I bet they're really excited.
Yeah, it's going to look so
good.
Dude,
you've described it so well. Like, people are running to the store right now.
I don't want to say what it is in case I mess it up and then it doesn't look good. But I'm thinking we have a new shirt and hoodie design, a new hat, and something that says, stop taxation of fish. Stop fish paying taxes. Women love me, fish hate paying taxes. Let me know what you want.
Wear goggles.
Anyway.
That's all it says.
Speak.
Fish wear goggles and pay taxes.
I swim 16,000 feet down and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
And all I got was some more goggles.
And all I did was pay fish tax.
Like when you go to like Rome and they make you pay per day to be a tourist there.
Okay.
It's that, but as soon as you get in the sea, you have to pay the fish tax.
Mm-hmm. Loan shark joke.
Oh, insert yeah. that.
Insert here. Loan shark joke if I could think of one. If I understood loans and sharks more.
If you understood jokes.
If I were better at writing jokes, then maybe I'd write one now.
Okay, my sources are Wikipedia, Britannica.com, worldhistory.org, bbc.co.uk, grunge.com, and storiestogrowby.org. So often depicted as a fearsome witch with iron teeth and a hut that stands on chicken legs, Baba Yaga sounds like my kind of woman. The origins of Baba Yaga...
What, you
don't agree?
Oh, no, I do.
The origins of Baba Yaga are deeply rooted in Slavic folklore, with their tales being passed down through generations via word of mouth. While her exact origins are unclear, people believe that she may have evolved from ancient pagan beliefs, but her first appearance in writing isn't until 1755 in a book on Russian grammar.
Oh, interesting. Random.
right? But I did find this quote about Baba Yaga's birth. Apparently, the devil, wishing to concoct the most perfect essence of evil, cooked 12 nasty women together in a cauldron. To capture the essence, he gathered the steam in his mouth and then spat into the cauldron.
Oh.
Out of this mixture came Baba Yaga, the most perfect evil.
Where do you find 12 nasty women?
Betting shop.
Were you practicing that? Kane's so much better at jokes than I am.
No, I just understand the formula of a joke.
Yes, you write joke, fish tacks.
Hey, Abby, I don't write jokes in.
You know what, Kate? Neither do I. I just put a note. I put like, I wrote joke about fish paying taxes.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Well, usually I don't. Most of my jokes are off the cuff. But you know why everyone thinks I'm the funny one? It's because I have material.
Hey,
sometimes, all right. I think of something.
You have material, but it's joke about fish paying taxes.
You know what? I'm sure it was really funny when I knew what the hell I was writing. I'm sure I was like, oh, good one.
Yeah, I don't write jokes because I actually listen when you tell me your story. But when I tell you mine, you just zone off.
Yeah. So I have to write something. Otherwise, you'd think I was being rude.
Anyway... In terms of linguistics, her first name, Baba, is a Babel word, right? Like mama, dada, etc. It's linked to babusha, babsia, or babushka, which are Ukrainian, Polish, and Russian words for grandmother. Similarly, in Serbian, Croatian, Bosnian, and Bulgarian, Baba means grandmother or old woman, which I might adopt. Might start calling my nan old woman.
Not Baba, just old woman.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be a hit.
Oldie.
Hey, oldie moldy.
What if I call your grandma old woman?
I think if you called her old woman, she'd beat you.
Text your mum right now and I say, hey, old woman, when are you getting back?
Wow. All right.
And then I wait for her to kick me.
Yeah, she would.
Yeah.
She would. She would get you.
She'd do something much worse.
Yeah, she'd ruin you financially. Mm,
yeah. And I've been doing that fine myself so far.
Oh my God. Stop buying little coffees, Abby.
I can't.
However, Baba can also be seen as a slur to mean like dirty, old, or stupid woman.
Oh.
So don't start calling my mum that, please. She'll get you. In terms of her surname, not my mum's, Baba Yaga's, there's no consensus about Yaga. Like, there are ideas of it meaning...
It rhymes and that sounds pretty cool.
There are ideas of it meaning witch, anger, pain, and serpent. They've all kind of been thrown around by different scholars, but no one's for sure. Personally, I'd rather be Grandmother Serpent.
That sounds pretty sick.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Granny Serps.
No. You've ruined it immediately. Granny Serps.
Surplus. When you got loads of grannies. See?
You're doing me in today.
Yeah. Remember I said I was tired?
Yep. Over time, Baba Yaga's character has undergone lots of transformations due to the changing beliefs of the Slavic people. In some stories, she's shown as a malevolent hag figure, preying on unsuspecting travellers who dare to stumble upon her territory. She's also been known to have a part-time gig.
Oh!
Accompanying Death on his journeys and eating the newly released souls, with children as a delicacy.
Oh.
In other tales, she's a wise and benevolent old woman, offering guidance and aid to those who seek her out. She's even been known to offer heroes and heroines magical gifts now and then.
Oh, she doesn't sound too bad.
She's described as a giant elderly woman with a long hooked nose and iron teeth. She's typically depicted riding an iron kettle or a mortar and wielding a pestle instead of the old, you know, witch broomstick, that kind of thing.
I see.
She does have a broom, but she uses it to sweep away her tracks in the forest.
Smart.
As I mentioned earlier, her home is a hut that stands on chicken legs. It's surrounded by a fence adorned with human skulls, serving as a deterrent to intruders. Now, I'm not sure how that works, because the whole point of the chicken leg hut is that it moves, right? She can relocate.
Like Howl's Moving Castle.
Exactly.
Baba Yaga's Moving Chicken Shed.
That sounds like a Kirstie Allsop TV show.
That's funny. I was thinking like a, you know, those like weird kebab shops.
It sounds like it's for sure vegan.
Yeah.
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 That's what.
Do you want to go to Yaga's chicken legs tonight?
Yeah. No, I meant like a vegan burger. You know how they give them all stupid fucking names?
Is there anything worse than when you, I mean, yes.
And you're like, hey, can I get a big busty breast burger?
Exactly that. Yeah. And you're like building up the courage and you don't know whether you should fully commit to it and be like, hey.
What do you mean, like ask sexy?
Hey,
can I get a big busty breast burger?
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, say it to them fully. Say it straight up exactly what it is, right? Or whether you should just go, oh, can I have that one and point? Because both are embarrassing for different reasons.
Yeah, and it's always worse because you always have like an adolescent come and take your order.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are you just as uncomfortable as I am about the menu here?
Yeah. What led to your employment here?
A job? Yeah, like, it's like when you go to even like a foreign restaurant, like if you go to a Chinese, you know, they number things in a lot of places where English people go, so you can just pick a number, right?
Yes.
Sometimes they don't. And you're like, do I try and say this in a way that I know is not going to be right and embarrass myself and they feel secondhand embarrassment? Or do I point? And then they think like, oh, you didn't even try.
I fully commit. Like when I go on holiday as well, I'm in like different countries. And I'm like, bonjour.
Do you really?
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm in Russia going, bonjour.
Do you do the accent?
You kind of have to with some languages, I feel like. Like, how are you supposed to say croissant?
Croissant.
In France.
You say, can I get a croissant, please?
Could I get a croissant?
Yeah.
No, you've kind of got to, if you're going to say it how it's supposed to be said, you kind of have to put the accent on a little.
Mm.
Croissant.
Are you going to finish that? Croissant. Please continue your story.
Anyway, yeah, so I'm not sure how the fence adorned with human skulls moves or whether she makes a new one every time, if the chicken leg is on.
Sounds tiring. I would just run. Put them on like a trailer, right?
Oh, I've written hashtag landscaping mogul.
So you do write jokes?
I have written one.
There you go.
I fucked it up as well because I said mogul. Just no one say you heard
I
that.
I fuck up words every episode and no one acknowledges it.
I do.
Yeah, but I cut it out.
Occasionally, it's mentioned that she lives with two or three sisters. Confusingly, all of them are known as Baba Yaga.
Oh, goodness.
Must be a family trait to be evil, because the sisters have all pretty much got the same MO as the original Baba Yaga. She likes to leave her house early in the morning, instructing her flock of black geese to circle the skies and look for children for her to feast on when she returns in the evening. Most of the Baba Yaga's tales are similar to the story of Cinderella, I feel like most of us know, but let me give you a summary of a story that I read while researching. Vasilisa, a young girl who lives with her cruel stepmother and stepsisters, gets sent on an impossible errand to fetch fire from Baba Yaga's hut by her wicked stepmother. Vasilisa, I'm so sorry, Vasilisa, if I'm saying your name wrong.
Comment below, Vasilisa.
She's understandably terrified. However, she's helped by a magical doll given to her by her dead mother. The doll provides her with guidance and protection throughout her journey. Despite her fear, she bravely makes her way to Baba Yaga's hut. Upon arrival, she's greeted by the witch's frightening presence. Baba Yaga sets her to work, giving her difficult tasks to complete. But with the help of her magical doll, she successfully accomplishes each task.
Aww.
Impressed by Vasilisa's resourcefulness, Baba Yaga rewards her with the fire she sought and allows her to return home. When she arrives home, she discovers that her stepmother and stepsisters have met a terrible fate due to their cruelty. With the help of the magical doll, Vasilisa is able to start a new life for herself, free from the abuse of her stepfamily.
Wow.
Right?
What a lovely story.
I thought it was quite nice. I mean, obviously, like, it's kind of reminiscent of the old kinds of fairy tale where things are horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the original Cinderella, they where the stepsisters had to like cut off their toes or something to fit in the glass slipper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like there's always some messed up thing in a fairy tale. So I think in general it's quite nice.
Yeah.
So, is she real or could she be something else? Well, the character of Baba Yaga holds a rich symbolic significance within folklore. She's often seen as a representation of the wild and untamed sections of nature. For example, the weather being both menacing and helpful. So in this sense, Baba Yaga serves as a reminder of how sort of fragile we are and how powerful nature can be, right? Because she's like this otherworldly power.
I like that. That's yeah. quite interesting.
Also, she's often associated with themes of transformation and initiation. In lots of her tales, those who encounter her are forced to undergo trials and challenges, ultimately emerging transformed and better because of their experiences with her. So she serves like a catalyst for personal growth and spiritual development. Obviously, only in the tales where she's helping yes. and not eating children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I feel like there's no good way to twist that.
No, yeah. If you eat a child, in my book, you're a bad person.
Personally,
I wouldn't have that.
No.
Baba Yaga's character has also found its way into psychological and philosophical conversations as a metaphor for the darker parts of humans. In this sense, she represents the shadow self, which is the repressed and hidden aspect of the unconscious mind that must be confronted and integrated in order to achieve like wholeness and self-actualization and stuff like that. Again, it could just be a tale that is trying to stop children from misbehaving, mm-hmm. as they're known to make up a good proportion of Baba Yaga's diet. In the story, Baba Yaga's black geese, two disobedient children, Olga and Sergei, sneak out of their house while their mother's at the market after she's warned them not to go out while the geese are flying. And Sergei is caught by the geese and brought back to Baba Yaga's hut for dinner. Olga saves her brother and the two learn their lesson about not listening to their mother, making it sound like another classic, like, oh, you shouldn't have misbehaved.
You gotta eat.
Yeah, Baba Yaga will eat you for a dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So that is Baba Yaga.
Interesting.
I thought so. And I've seen her like only in a couple of pieces of media, which mm-hmm. is interesting. She's in this phone game that you and I played.
I don't want to tell you all about the phone game. It's embarrassing.
Well, it was a good game. And if you know, you know. And she's in Howl's Moving Castle or Spirited Away. There's an old woman. It's in the bathhouse. The old woman in the bathhouse.
And Spirited Away.
It's supposed to be Baba Yaga,
oh,
I believe.
Oh, no way.
I believe so. But apart from that, I don't really know. Well, I didn't know anything about
no,
her.
No, me either.
I'd heard of the name briefly, but
mm-hmm.
it's interesting.
It is interesting. I like her chicken leg house. I would love to see that in real life.
Right?
Maybe without the skulls, though.
I don't know. Bit of design. Zhuzh it up a bit.
Yeah. I also have skulls around my house.
You do? Another thing that I found while I was researching this, I've not written it down because it was huge, but there is a fairy tale indexing system.
What?
Yeah. I could not believe it. It's like got all of the sections of what could make a fairy tale, so like a helpful animal or whatever, and it's all like subgrouped into different classifications of
wow,
fairy
tale. Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah, it's the Arne Thompson Uther Index, and it's fantastic.
Like, I
would
definitely check that out.
Yeah, it's so big. It's a catalogue of folktale types used in folklore studies, which has really helped folklore studies because like you can immediately just assign it to a different index point. And there's so much in there. It is really quite incredible. Couldn't believe I hadn't heard of it before.
No, that would have been very helpful.
Yeah, right? So, the scare scale. How scary do you think Baba Yaga is?
3. Reasoning is, she sounds kind of scary, but there is a little bit of helpfulness there.
Yeah, and also you're not a kid.
I'm not. It says she eats souls, though. She prefers children.
Yeah, but you're an old soul.
Oh, is that a compliment?
Danger.
4.
Yeah, it's the iron teeth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew it would be. Spiky. Scary. And her house can run after you.
That is
and she
being
can
in
fly.
The woods and being like, oh, I won't go anywhere near that house, and the house starts coming towards you.
House is like, you what? Likelihood of Baba Yaga existing.
2.
Yeah.
I would give it a 1, but I want to have a good time.
Fair enough. Live your life.
I am.
What ideas do you have?
Folklore and stories to ward off children being bad. I worded that completely wrong, but you know what I mean.
Yes. To stop kids misbehaving.
Yes.
Yeah, I liked the idea of her being the personification of nature and stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I feel like it's like poetry in an English GCSE, right? Like someone's written a poem and then you're going over it and analyzing every possible thing that the poet could have meant. And then the poet's just written a line because they like the sound of the line or because they'd heard their mum say it or something. And then you're like, wow, what a deep symbolism behind that. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah, but I have strong feelings about this because I think specifically for that, media literacy is so important and is kind of dying by the looks of media in general at the minute. So I think anything like that I like to read and I like to believe in because I think it's important for people to think about things like properly, thoroughly.
For sure. I definitely think that having analytical skills is important, yeah, especially when it comes to media, right?
Whether the people who like, you know, obviously this is a super old tale, mm-hmm, but whether they originally meant for it to be that or not, I think is not as important as the fact that people are interpreting it as that anyway.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting comparison. I think it probably, I don't think the character of Baba Yaga was meant for that.
No, but I do like it.
But it is interesting, yeah.
Well, if you like it and you like the podcast and you want to follow us on social media, you can do that at MidsMagicPod on Facebook and Instagram. And also we're on TikTok, but I can't remember the username. But if you search us, then we're on there. I think it might be MidsMagicPod on there as well. Anyway, also we have a Patreon at patreon.com/MidsMagicMurder where you can donate as much or as little as you want and you get some cool stuff.
You do. You get video content from us. We do a little coffee and a chat every time we record anything. We do extra episodes on there. We've got one coming up after this, actually, mm-hmm, about similar fairy tale, folktale things. Also, you get a merchandise discount and you can view our merch over on midsmagicalmurder.com. You have to click on the shop button and you can request and submit your own stories on our website or midsmagicalmurder@gmail.com.
All right, let's get into my story, which is also some Slavic folklore.
Oh, yeah.
The Kikimora.
Ooh.
My sources are astonishinglegends.com, Wikipedia, worldhistory.com, and ancientorigins.net. Our favorite.
I love that one.
So picture this. It's midnight in the dense forests of Eastern Europe. The moon casts an eerie glow through the tree branches, and you hear something nearby. It's a creature out of Slavic myth and folklore. The Kikimora. So what is the Kikimora?
I don't know.
Well, actually, I only really did the forest thing for a bit of scare. It lives in your house. Way scarier.
Oh, great.
It is a creature that is believed to inhabit homes, particularly in neglected areas or dark corners of your house. You know, everyone has a lot of those.
Yeah, mine's the cleaning cupboard.
Or just a place where you just dump stuff. I have a lot of them. You know, you have like a bit in a room behind like a unit and you're like, I have some things. I'm just going to put them down there and pretend that they don't exist.
Yeah. It's like the stuff cupboard.
Yes. The stuff cupboard, the stuff drawer.
Yeah.
The stuff area. The bit that you never hoover because you can't be bothered to move out the chair. Mm. Like these places, dark, scary places. That is where the Kikimora lives.
Under the bed.
Yeah, don't know where to put something, just shove it in the corner for the creatures to play with.
Just give it to the Kikimora.
They might also live in attics, under the floorboards, or in cupboards. But if they want to make themselves known to you, they will. Obviously, with this being folklore, there's a lot of different descriptions of the Kikimora. So in some renditions of the story, it's said to have the snout of a dog, the beak of a chicken, or goat-like horns. Apparently, it can take any part of an animal's body and sort of mush it together. But it prefers those ones, I guess.
Hmm.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
What part would you want from an animal?
Ooh, I reckon I could go for a few things. A tail would probably be useful. Like, but a tail you could use, like how monkeys use their tails.
I would get annoyed at it being there.
Oh, you would?
Yeah. When you sit?
I think you just sit different though.
I don't want to.
Oh, okay.
I want to sit as normal.
I'm not really sure what else I would want. I mean, claws seem useful, but again, would they always be useful? Like, I wouldn't want them there all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's nothing where I really look at an animal and I'm like, man, I wish I had that.
What about, like, wings?
No. I don't like to not be on the floor.
But you were in control of it?
No.
You could land wherever.
Yeah, well, it's like rock climbing, isn't it? Like,
I shoot you out of the sky.
Oh my God. You're in control of it. Please don't hunt me. Yeah, if I'm on a rock climbing wall, I'm in control, but I still don't want to be up there. Not a fan. How about you? Would you pick wings?
The thing is that there are things that I think are practical that will be good, but I don't want them because I don't want to be, like a person that has these like animal parts, because it's weird. If everyone had them, then yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But right now I'm like, I don't want to be the only person that has monkey feet. But monkey feet are so handy because they have thumbs on their feet. You could be like, you know when you like drop something and you want to pick it up?
Yeah.
Foot. Or you're like laying down and you want to get your cup of coffee from the table? Foot. And then I fly away.
You would, I don't think I could be your friend. I'll be honest.
If I had monkey feet and wings?
Yeah. I don't think I would like that.
Oh, that's not very nice.
Sorry.
Okay.
It's the damn truth.
An important element of the creature is that it also appears feminine always, in whatever form it takes. So I guess like when Disney make a creature and they make it a girl and it's like really unnecessarily feminine.
Yeah.
Like how do we make an ant a sexy woman?
Oh God, I hate it when companies do that. I think it's so stupid.
Because it always appears feminine, it may take on the form of a beautiful woman, an old woman, or even a deceased family member. Now there are two versions of the Kikimora, the forest and the swamp. I think the forest one is the one that can take all the shapes, because the forest version is apparently married to another creature called the Domovoi. Domovoi is how you pronounce it. And that's what I'm covering over on Patreon.
Oh.
The swamp version is said to be a small hunched figure with dark hair and glowing eyes. So the swamp version with the dark hair is thought to resemble the shape of like an ugly thin woman.
Why ugly?
I don't know. Maybe and she uses moss and grass as clothes.
Maybe someone
queen.
Will find her beautiful.
Yeah, beauty is subjective, and I can't judge the Kikimora for that. The swamp Kikimora is said to be married to a creature named Leshy, which I might talk about in a future episode if we want to do that. However, it is believed that when this version of the Kikimora scares people, it can also drown people and knock people off the road and kidnap kids.
Oh, gosh.
So, you know, I guess it doesn't really matter if she's ugly. You can tell if the Kikimora is in your house as a forest version or a swamp version because the swamp one leaves wet footprints everywhere.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. How does the Kikimora get in your house? One of two ways. Either the builders let it in when they're building your house.
Oh, please don't do that. If you're a contractor, hear me out. Don't let people in.
But it can also come in through your keyhole.
Oh.
So
well,
with
what are you
stories,
supposed to do?
Well, I'll tell you. I'm telling you.
Sorry.
With stories of the Kikimora spreading, many people chose to stuff their keyhole with cloth or paper to prevent it from coming in. So you could do that.
Okay.
Now, sources say different things, but I gather that the Kikimora is generally a disliked thing because it's like in your house and you don't really want a thing in your house. But if you treat it well and take care of your environment, it can also be a good thing. If the creature wants to make its presence known, it will make noises like a mouse. If she's offers food, then you believe that this will make her leave and stop causing problems.
Right.
Apparently, you should never look it in the eyes. Children are advised to stare at pillows if they feel the creature's presence in the room.
Ew.
I know, right?
Hate.
And many people say that if you lay your eyes on it, your death will be swift or you will be kidnapped. Other sources aren't so harsh and say that you might just have a nightmare.
Oh, well, I wouldn't want to risk it.
No, I mean, that's why you wouldn't want them in your house, I suppose. According to AstonishingLegends.com, Kikimoras often appear alongside changing, like life-changing bad news, like death or misfortune. And if the event hasn't happened yet, it could be the bearer of bad news. Or right. It could be the reason for sleeping troubles, such as sleep paralysis, nightmares, or unfortunate events happening overnight, like your farm animals dying. So if you see it, something bad might happen.
If you see something, say something. Say, however, get out. Go away.
Get out of here.
Just don't tell me
anything. Spray it with Raid.
Spray it in the eyes. Get it.
However, according to other sources, it's summoned not because of bad news, but because you aren't keeping your house in order. And it's kind of pissed about it.
Okay.
Now this source, which is worldhistory.org, says that the Kikimora from the swamp are bad, which we can't deny because of all the other reasons.
Yep.
And they also cause mischief and chaos with Baba Yaga.
Oh.
That's what you talked about. However, the ones from the forest are super chill.
Okay, that checks. You know, I feel like forest creatures tend to be more chill than swamp creatures.
Name a swamp creature.
The swamp creature. You know the one.
The creature from the lagoon.
Yeah, the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The most common swamp creature.
Well, it's the most famous.
It is.
I don't know. What lives in a swamp?
Alligator?
Piranha?
Goblin?
I feel like there are a lot of carnivorous fish in swamps. I'm going to go with a carnivorous fish for 10, please.
Some say that the forest kikimora mean well and will only cause trouble if you slack off with housework to teach you a lesson. But if you're on top of things and take good care of your surroundings, they're kind and they sometimes help you out with the work.
We're doomed.
No, I know. The story of the creature comes from between the 8th to the 13th century, when Slavic paganism was slowly being drowned out by Christianity. But even when Christianity had a hold on the Slavic regions, the kikimora was still very much believed in, and people still believe in it today, with some Christians believing that it's a demonic force.
Mm-hmm.
However, if people don't necessarily believe it, they may still use the creature to keep things orderly at home by saying you have to look after the house, otherwise the kikimora is going to come and give you nightmares. So people stay on top of their chores, like to make sure your kids clean up and go to bed or whatever.
Okay. Great parenting tactic. Yeah. Tell your children they'll be killed brutally.
Yeah, by a scary woman.
By an unknown force that lives under their bed.
I think it's good parenting.
I think it's effective, but I don't think it's good.
My mom said it to me and I'm fine, see?
Don't do it. And here's an exhibit.
Some people believe that the kikimora are people who have died and then have been transformed into kikimora. So if a stillborn baby or a woman who has committed suicide or a child have died before being baptized, they then might become a kikimora.
Okay.
Or people who have been cursed.
Ooh.
Which doesn't feel like a very fair thing to say.
What? Which bit? The curse?
If your baby's born stillborn.
Yeah, right. That's what I was thinking.
Then they become a monster.
It's because you said it after someone that's been cursed. And you were like, that doesn't feel very fair. And I'm like, dude.
Some people believe that they are natural spirits that are born from the energies of the household. So if your household is negative and chaotic, you will create a negative and chaotic spirit. Or some people believe that they are the spirits of the deceased who can't find the afterlife yet, and they attach themselves to your home as a place of refuge.
Mm.
And obviously, it could just be a story that's evolved naturally through storytelling and continued as a way to make people keep their house organized, like I mentioned. So what do you think?
I think probably a way to get people to keep their house organized,
mm-hmm.
or like a ghost type thing, because it kind of seems to be a similar, you know, there's spooky stuff happening and you mm-hmm. can feel a presence and that kind of thing. So I think that's probably more where it is
mm-hmm.
rather than, yeah, if you have a stillborn baby or something like that, that feels really horrid, actually. Yeah. Or even someone that's committed suicide, because, like, that's rough. They were going through it, and now they have to be this.
Yes, I agree.
Awful.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Let's do this guess, girl. How scary?
Personally, I think that having a spirit or presence that you can't look at because you'll die is, like, a 4.5 for me.
It's pretty freaky, right? Yeah. That's, like, one of the worst things ever.
Yeah.
Dangerous?
Well, again, sort of a 4.5. You die a horrible, horrible death.
Or just a nightmare.
But I think I don't want to class it down a bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't take a chance by looking at it, by being like, maybe I'll just wet the bed.
Mm-hmm. Likelihood.
I'm going to say like a 2.5.
Okay. And what are your ideas?
I think mainly sort of a deterrent for making a mess, right? And a ghost or spirit or poltergeist of some form. Those are my two main ones, I think.
All right. That's everything I got.
That was good.
That was good.
I like that. I like that as tie-in.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking.
That was nice.
And you know what else ties in?
What?
The episode we're about to record for Patreon.
What?
If you want to listen to us keep chatting about these over here, then you can go do that.
I think I'm covering the... It's spelled Dobhachu, I think. Or did I already cover that?
You already covered that.
Is that old?
That's an old one.
Where am I?
I don't know. I'm not in charge of
your
schedule.
Who are you?
What's going on right now?
What's going on? Oh, yes. I'll be covering the Koshe.
That's not even similar.
Shut up.
Which one was the Doku?
I don't know, but I feel like I just talked about it.
You talked about it, like, last year.
God, I'm bad at this, aren't I?
Bad at what?
Just the podcast. I don't know when we did that, but it fucking forget I said any of that. It's nothing to do with you, all right?
It's got nothing to do with that.
No, grow up, get a life. Listen to me talk about the Koshay over on Patreon at some point during the week.
Yes, I'm going to go make another cup of tea.
I want a warm one this time.
Yeah, I would like that. I'm sick of this. Yeah. Cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, stop being cold.
No more cold. No more cold tea. No more listening before bed.
Listen before bed.